ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 सो वी डिस्कसिंग 7 चैप्टर। सो बिफोर आई स्टार्ट 7 चैप्टर, 1 point has to be emphasized that we discussed about many things about karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, dhyana yoga, you come there, and various types of karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, is it impure, pure? So one thing has to be added, impure karma yoga. What is that?
Yeah.
You serve Krishna, you do action for Krishna, karma for Krishna with desires. Material desires, desire for liberation, whatever. So, I have named it as Karma Yoga. Technically, in Sanskrit it is called as Sakam Karma Yoga. You should know the term, because somebody, he tells you term, then and so what is this? So to make it easy, I told impure and pure karma. You see? So impure karma technically is called sakam karma. There are two types of impure karma. One is sakam karma and one is nishkam karma. So sakam karma is karma with, it is an impure type of karma with material desires. Nishkam karma is also an impure type of karma with desire for liberation. See? Desire for liberation. So that is sakam nishkam. That's all I wanted to mention. Is it okay? So, after understanding this, let's go to 7th chapter. Now, what is 7th chapter all about? From this chapter, bhakti yoga is beginning. So, pure karma yoga, pure jnana yoga, pure dhyana yoga, everything combined is called bhakti yoga.
Yeah.
So that's what Krishna is beginning. Everything combined is called bhakti yoga.
Pure, no.
Of course, pure karma yoga, pure jnana yoga, pure dhyana yoga, everything combined
bhakti
is called bhakti yoga. And in bhakti yoga, there is one addition. When you keep on practicing bhakti yoga, then you get attachment to Lord, no? Is it? So, 7th chapter, at beginning of, from 7th chapter to 12th chapter, bhakti yoga is discussed in detail now. Krishna is talking about bhakti yoga now. So, what is so important in bhakti yoga? What is the most important thing in bhakti yoga? There are three things.
Attraction and love.
Three things in bhakti yoga. God, devotee, and service. Three things. No? That's all bhakti yoga, no?
Right.
Is it? So, so about who is God, who is a devotee, and what is a service? These three topics are discussed from 7th chapter to 12th chapter. No, this is a section of bhakti yoga, no? In details. We talked about service in karma yoga, pure karma yoga. We talked about little bit of about why we should do service in pure jnana yoga, how we should do service with attention in pure dhyana yoga. But then we didn't talk much about devotee. Is it? Who is a devotee? What is the consciousness of devotee? Not much. And we didn't really talk about attachment, what is love, that we didn't really touch in first section, which is almost the goal of bhakti yoga. And also about God in details, we didn't talk. No, who is God? What is his thinking? What is his qualities? What is his nature? No, all these things. And also we didn't talk about the intricacies of service. How a devotee does service with love. All those topics are discussed in this section, 7th chapter to 12th chapter, in section of Bhakti Yoga. So to begin with, Bhakti Yoga, to begin with. First thing you have to discuss, what, God, devotee or service? What is the first thing you should discuss?
God.
Without God there is no bhakti. What do you do? That is why the name of this chapter is knowledge of
absolute.
Absolute. This section begins with God. Who is God? Okay, but this chapter is not only talking about God. Many other things also. Main subject is about God, but many other subjects. Okay, what this chapter is talking about? You can remember seven chapters talking about seven subjects and seven types of people who serve Krishna. And also seven stages of devotion. So seven, that's all. James Bond or what? 777. So that's what is. Okay, so it's a concoction or it is there? We have to see how it is there. But does Prabhupada mention all these things? That's, we have to see Prabhupada is mentioning or not. So come to last verse. Seven chapter last verse. This is 30th verse. Seven chapter 30th verse. And you see seven chapter last verse, purport, last paragraph. Okay. So last paragraph, first line.
Many
subjects have been discussed in this chapter. See. So we talked about seven subjects. Man in distress first, inquisitive man in want of material necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation from birth and death, and worship of Supreme Lord. Count how many are these? Seven. There are seven. That's all. So, seven subjects. Simple. Okay. There are seven, no?
Yes.
And then this chapter is also talking about seven types of people. Now, who are those? One is, of course, foolish people. Dushkriti. They are talking about seven types of people. Now, the first is Dushkriti. Dushkriti means people who don't surrender to God. Second is Sukriti. People who come to God. And the third is talking about people who worship demigods, who have faith in demigods. And the fourth is people who have faith in impersonal Brahman realization. They worship impersonal Brahman realization. Fifth is people who are yogis, who worship Paramatma in their heart. Sixth is people who are after liberation, who come to Krishna but they want liberation. Mixed devotion. People who are doing mixed devotion. And seventh is pure devotion, pure devotees. Seven type of people. So we'll come when we are discussing. And then seven stages of devotion. This chapter is helping us to understand. Now what are the stages of devotion? Just come to this paragraph before. 7 chapter 30th verse, second paragraph. See, second paragraph, I am reading second paragraph. 7 chapter particularly explains how one can become fully Krishna conscious person. So stages of devotion up to love. The beginning of Krishna conscious, association of persons of Krishna conscious. First stage now. Such association is spiritual, puts one in directly touch with Supreme Lord. Second stage. By His grace one can understand Krishna to be Supreme Personality of God. At third stage. At the same time one can really understand the constitutional position of living entity. Fourth stage. And how living entity forgets Krishna and becomes entangled in material activities. By gradual development of Krishna consciousness, good association, living entity can understand the due to forgetfulness of Krishna, because conditioned by laws of material nature, can also understand human form of life, it's an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness. Fifth, sixth and seventh stage. It should be fully utilized to attain causeless mercy of Supreme Lord, love. So I'll come to this point, seven stages Krishna is talking. Seven stages are faith. First is faith. Then association of devotees, after faith you take association of devotees, is it? And then you practice Krishna consciousness, you come in touch with Lord, and then you are then your heart becomes pure. So it is like, so you can understand that you are suffering in this material world due to forgetfulness of Krishna, and you start remembering Krishna, your heart becomes pure. And then fifth is, you get faith. You get determination to practice Krishna consciousness. No?
Yeah, gradual development.
You get determination. And then, sixth stage is, you get attachment to the Lord. And the seventh stage is love. Simple. You see, so all these things, this chapter is talking, it's important, no? That is why it is called knowledge of?
Absolute.
Yeah, it is not called knowledge of God. There is a difference between knowledge of God, knowledge of Absolute. What's the difference?
Absolute is Ishvara can be referred to even demigods, those who control. But Absolute is Absolute. He is the Supreme.
But they are demigods. This is God. The Absolute. Prabhupada writes in first Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse. Prabhupada writes, when we talk of God, it is God, Krishna. When we talk of Absolute, it is God, His devotees and His service. That is Absolute. Full. So that is why the knowledge of Absolute. We are talking about God, we are talking about seven types of people who are worshipping God in different ways, pure devotion. We are also talking about stages to attain God, that is service. So all these three things, God, devotee and service, all are there in this chapter. You see? So that's why I told you, this section, 7 chapter to 12 chapter, it's talking about God, service and devotees. All chapters are talking about God, service and devotees, because you can't talk about God without service. You can't separate them, You can't talk about service without devotees. But different chapters are focusing on different aspects. This chapter is focusing on who is God and His devotees. But then this chapter is also talking about service. So 9th chapter, for example, most confidential knowledge, it is talking mostly about service, but also it has to talk about God and devotees. You see? So that's the point here. So this last purport is very important to understand what's going on in this chapter. Okay, now we come to first verse, and now you can understand what's happening. Otherwise, you'll not be able to understand what's going on in this chapter, how it is linked. Okay, so we are reading first verse. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya Asamshyam Samagramam Yatha Gyasyasi Tatshinu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now here, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So what is this first verse? Prabhupada speaks in his purport, Prabhupada writes, the most important thing in this verse is Tat Shrinu. This word is a Tat Shrinu? Hear from me. This is the first stage. Shraddha. How do you develop faith? By hearing, no? Otherwise, how do you develop? So I told you 7 stages. First stage, you have to hear. That's the first stage, hearing. That's how you develop faith. That is why Krishna is saying, you should hear from me, Tatshrinu. And Prabhupada devotes much of his purport to this point, that we have to hear. You see, so you see the last line of this purport? Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or from devotee in Krishna consciousness, one can understand signs of
Krishna.
See, Prabhupada summed it up, no? So, this verse is talking about two stages, faith and association of devotees, no? Also, but faith and association. Well, in association you hear and you develop faith. Hearing is all about faith. If you hear and if you don't develop faith, what's the point of hearing? Is it? So, first, association and faith, both first verse is talking. Okay. And then you come to third verse. You see what Krishna is saying. Manushya naam saha shreshu kashyat tati siddhaye tadam api siddhanam kashchan maam veti tatvata. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor of perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth.
Oh my God.
So what is this?
Only the Mahajans know.
Yeah. So what is this? What is this verse all about? There are many meanings to this verse. You have to understand. But the point in this verse is that who knows Krishna? Why out of thousands of men one know Krishna? There are many type of people. I told you seven chapters talking about people who worship demigods, yeah. People who worship Brahman, yes. People who are impure Jnana Yoga, impure Karma Yoga, impure Dhyana Yoga. They are like going here and there. Here. Why out of thousands of people one can know Krishna? What is so special in that person?
Love.
He's attached, completely absorbed.
No.
Senses are aligned.
No. If you read the purport, you'll know. Go and read the purport afterwards. But the point is, what is so special in that person? There's nothing special in that person. That's the point. Speciality is that he, by fortune, he gets association of devotees. Other people are unfortunate. They don't get association of devotees. That is a speciality. And this is a second stage. Association of devotees. Faith and association of devotees. So, out of thousands of people who are doing different processes, one comes to bhakti. Why? He was fortunate to get association of devotees. Guru Krishna Prasade Paye, Bhakti Lata Beach. So he gets. Other people are unfortunate, simply unfortunate. They don't get association of devotees, probably because of whatever factor, you know, whatever factor is there. So that's what is Krishna telling about. Hardly one. So this is one meaning of this verse. One meaning. That so many people are trying for liberation, so many people are trying for different perfections, but one knows me because he gets association of my devotees, and that is why in all Vaishnava Sampradaya, serving devotees is one of the main limb, no? Because you have come to Krishna through help of a devotee.
Yeah.
So to repay that debt, we must serve Vaishnavas. Then Krishna will be happy. Krishna has given this department of coming to him to his devotees. He has not kept with him. Because why? He can also bring people to himself. Because he wants to give credit to his devotees. And he wants to show that my devotees are more merciful than me. That's what he wants to show. Of course, all mercy is coming from God, but he wants to show that. So that's a point here, one thing. And the second point here is, out of many people who are practicing Krishna consciousness, or already in bhakti, only one will attain Krishna. Because it's not easy to practice bhakti, no? It's easy and simultaneously not easy. The process is easy, but application is difficult. So we have two meanings of this verse. Mm-hmm. One meaning is from the perspective of non-devotees and devotees. You understand?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And other is from the perspective of within Krishna consciousness who are practicing. So the point is, every verse of Gita, it can be understood from various perspectives. That's what I wanted to tell you from this verse. Mm-hmm. From many perspectives. I have just told you two perspectives. There are at least 10 perspectives to every verse. There are 8 more. I will not tell you. But there are 8 more. Minimum 10.
Homework. Yes,
that you will not be able to come to know. I don't tell you, will not be, because it's not here. So, 8. So that's why Bhagavad Gita is almost, you need devotees to understand Bhagavad Gita. Without that, it's impossible. We cannot do it. You cannot do it. Just like two perspective also, you don't know. You just know one, no?
One.
And that too after reading the purport. Then you will come to know. Okay, so this is about association of devotees, no?
Yes.
Okay. So, so you see, as I am discussing this chapter, we are also getting stages.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also point out to you many various type of people, what's happening. So now next, after this point, for some verses, I am not going to read, but 4, 5, 6, 7 verses, Krishna is telling about himself. Because what does devotee, if you get association of devotees, you know Krishna. Why you know Krishna in association of devotees? Because they'll tell you about Krishna. So what they will tell you about God? 7, 4, 5, 6, 7 chapter. You can take Gita if you want. So that's the point. So so we are on 7 chapter 4th verse. 7 chapter 4th verse. So let's read 7 chapter 4th verse just. Bhumirapanalo vayu khammano buddhireva cha ahankar iti amme bhinna prakartir asada. Now Krishna is telling about himself. No? Devotees tell about Krishna. That's the point. Devotees, when two devotees meet, what they discuss about? Krishna. When one devotee meet, when one devotee meets a non-devotee, they discuss about politics. Nonsense.
Donald Trump.
Donald, what's that?
He's a Republican president candidate. A joker.
So that's the point. I mean, even in Krishna consciousness, please be careful. When you all meeting, there's a tendency to talk nonsense. You all meet, talk nonsense. We don't talk about Krishna most of the time.
That's what I see from
that everybody, you know, everybody, entire ISKCON, in all institutions, not in ISKCON, there's a problem. It's a lecture finish, and then afterwards you're sitting and talking nonsense. That's not the point. We have come together. We're not come to make friends or gossip. Friends is okay, but not to discuss about Krishna. That's what we have to do. We have to put our mind in Krishna, discuss these things. So that is why from 4th verse, Krishna is not talking about himself. This is what devotees are supposed to talk. He's telling us. Talk, okay, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th. All these verses, Krishna is talking about himself. And one verse is important, by the way, in between. 7th chapter, 7th verse. What does that tell me? Without, you're seeing? No, not seeing. You should not see. Without seeing. Okay, I'll give you. Matta parataram. Kinchidasti dhananjaya. Mai sarvam idam proktam. Sutre maningana eva. This verse you can't afford to forget. Prabhupada quotes millions of times. And why this is important? Because Krishna says, 7th chapter, 7th verse, I'm reading translation, O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So what does Krishna mean here? This verse is important to counter the argument. If somebody says, okay, why don't you worship demigods? Everybody is same, no? People say no in India. Sab Devi ek Durga, Krishna sab ek hi hai. Then you can quote this. Immediate. This verse is counter argument to all those stupid ideas. Or some people say, here Krishna hai, but above Krishna is light. Brahm Jyoti, you can quote Krishna is saying, there is no truth superior to me. There is nothing superior to me. No demigod, no light, no nonsense, no shunya. Mattaha parataram nanyat. Okay, one question I'll give you. Why does Krishna says matta parataram nanyati? So you see this word parataram? Mm-hmm. It is there? So what does Parādharma means?
Superior.
Superior. No. But actually Krishna should have said Paratamam. You know what's Paratamam? Most. But he said Parataram. Parataram is like little below to Paratamam. Why he says like that? Just by the way, some question. I'm giving you this question to make you understand that you can think about this verse also. Why Krishna is saying these words? It's not that you read proper translation and okay, chalo ho gaya. There are many, many, many depths. There's depth in God's words. So why he says Parataram? Why he doesn't say Paratamam?
Later on he says.
No, but here, why he's saying? There's some question, no? Good question. Why he says that? Tell me. Okay. You see the last paragraph. So although Prabhupada doesn't mention this word, but Prabhupada is commenting on this verse. That's why I brought this question. So last paragraph of 7th chapter, 7th verse. I'm reading last paragraph. You find this line, there is no truth superior to Supreme Person?
Yes.
Because he is a supermost. See?
Paratamam.
Prabhupada actually links the meaning Paratamam here. He doesn't write Parataram. So actually he's saying there is no truth superior to Supreme Person because he is the supermost. He is smaller than the smallest, greater than the greatest. He is situated in silent tree. So now you got the answer. Why Krishna doesn't say Paratamam?
No.
Really, it's there.
He says na Paratamam. So
of course,
no superior.
So Prabhupada says there is no truth superior to Supreme Person because he is supermost. The point is, if you are supermost, but to establish your supermost, you need to compare with somebody, no?
Yeah.
If you are alone, Prabhupada says, God is not God alone. Is it? If there is just Krishna, there is nothing else, then he is not God. You have to compare with something, no? Then you can say he is the supermost. That is why Krishna says, Parataram. To compare with all the other things, and then say, I'm superior to this. That's why I'm superior most.
Mm-hmm.
So he's using Parataram,
mm-hmm.
not just Paratamam. Because if you use just Paratamam, I'm supermost. We can't conceive. We have to conceive, no? We have to compare, no?
Mm-hmm.
So just like a mother will say to her child, okay, fine. अरे वो बचपन में नहीं कहते थे गब्बर सिंह आ गया सो जा गब्बर सिंह सो बट द चाइल्ड मस्ट नो हु इज गब्बर सिंह लाइक कम ऑन सो देन शी हैज टू कंपेयर ओ गब्बर सिंह इज वेरी डेंजरस मैन ही किल्स इनोसेंट पीपल ही डज दिस शी कंपेयर्स एंड देन ही कैन अंडरस्टैंड ओ ही इज लाइक द मोस्ट डेंजरस नो सो यू नीड कंपेरिजन टू कम टू हाइएस्ट प्लेटफॉर्म Otherwise, we can't conceive. Or for example, that example Prabhupada gives, frog in a well.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is famous example. So, okay, frog was thinking, my well is there's a lot of water.
Uh-huh.
And this is like the biggest water body I have seen in entire life. This is the everything. So, one of his friend, he goes to ocean, he comes back, he says, come on, this is nothing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Ocean, the water in ocean, water, ocean is... Ocean is the largest body of water. Largest Paratamam. But he couldn't understand frog. Because he has no comparison in his mind. Relativity. No relation. So then he says, okay. Then that frog says, how much big? And then he says, very big. So then frog, he couldn't really think about it. No. So that is why Krishna uses Parataram. And Prabhupada explains in the paragraph why he is using Parataram. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So when you read purports of Prabhupada, you have to keep in mind, Prabhupada is not writing purports by his own mind. Anything. It seems like that. Prabhupada is just verses something and he is writing something. It seems like that. It is disconnected. But Prabhupada is commenting on every word of verse. Although he might not be mentioning the word, but he is commenting. For that, you should have eyes to see. Otherwise, but of course, that if you have with devotees, then it's good to, you can understand, otherwise it's difficult to to know. Okay, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I quoted this verse. And anyway, before I proceed, this question of why using Parataram, this is one reason Prabhupada is giving. There are 9 reasons more why this word is used, but I'm not going to go into details now why he's doing that. There are many things to do with language, to do with rasa. There are many things around here in this verse. This verse is like, in itself, you can talk 3 months on this verse. You can keep on talking. But, just forget it. Okay, but why I'm telling you is, the more you read Bhagavad Gita, the more Bhagavad Gita will reveal itself to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a book of chemistry, maths, bio. This is God. Krishna and his words are not different, no? Prabhupada say. So the more you read and the more you meditate, Krishna will reveal, okay, this is there in this verse. This is mind of God. We are entering the mind of God. And mind of God has to have some depth, no? You can't say that, okay, this is this. It's impossible. So every verse of Bhagavad Gita has minimum 10 meanings. And actually every verse of Bhagavad Gita has minimum 1,000 meanings. Actually, if you really talk about 1,000 meanings, some people used to know 1,000 meanings of every verse. But if you really ask how many meanings to one verse is infinite. Because in this verse, now there are spiritual 10 meanings, spiritual meanings, 10. But then there is science in this verse. I can show you science. There is science. There is language in this verse. There is logic in this verse. So there are many things you can talk about in this verse. But for that, you need knowledge of Sanskrit and other things to come. But I am pressing to your point.
Mm-hmm.
My emphasis is, don't think I finished Bhagavad Gita. Nobody can finish Bhagavad Gita. It's not possible. Okay, I read it. Finished.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not possible. So you don't need to read, you don't need to know so many meanings. At least you read Prabhupada purport in this verse and try to meditate. You already, there are so many meanings in this that we will be able to take out. Okay, fine. Let's go fast forward. And then now we are on verse 13. So Krishna is talking about himself, is it? Faith. Stages, faith. You first heard about faith. Then association of devotees. In an association of devotees, he hears about Krishna. And as you hear about Krishna, that is, hearing about Krishna is what? That is bhakti, you know. That is practice of bhakti. Third stage, practice of Krishna consciousness. You come in contact with the God. Now you are in contact with God. So, that is, you are hearing holy name, you are hearing about Krishna. And then the fourth stage is what?
Heart becomes pure.
Heart becomes pure. And now Krishna is coming to this topic of heart becoming pure. 13th verse and 14th verse. 13th verse, Krishna says, Tribir gunamir bhavir evi sarvamidam jagat moetam navijanati mamebhya paramabhyam. Deluded by 3 modes, whole world does not know me. So what do you know by, what do you mean by whole world? Anyway.
All the living entities.
Who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Whole world means including demigods. Not just humans. Nobody knows me fully. Nobody can know him fully. Some people do not know him at all. Some people do not know him. Many people, like we know him, but we can't. Nobody can know him fully. That's why Krishna is saying, everybody is deluded by 3 modes of material nature. So, these 3 modes, this is the impurity in the heart, no? So, we are talking about heart becomes pure. Now, heart becomes pure of what? That's the question, no? When you practice devotion, 4 stages, heart becomes pure. So, obviously, the logical question is, heart becomes pure of what? So, first you have to tell what is impurity. And then we talk of purity. So, Krishna is talking about impurity here.
Mm-hmm.
In this verse. See? So, if you have to talk about light, first you have to tell what is darkness.
Prabhuji, why goodness is impurity?
Goodness is impurity.
Why is that?
Ignorance, you know what is ignorance, passion, goodness. So what do you mean? That is Sanskrit. But okay, fine. So what do you mean by mode of ignorance? What do you mean by that? What is mode of ignorance?
More sleeping.
No, sleep, madness, all these things, these are the effects of mode of ignorance. Effect, but what is mode of ignorance? So, Krishna talks in Gita, 13th chapter. That, I can tell you little because this trip I will not be able to come to 13th chapter, of course. But when you read properly, their mode of ignorance is to consider truth to be false, false to be truth. You take wrong to be right. That is ignorance, no? You're ignorant. So, that is mode of ignorance. And mode of passion is, you know what is right, what is wrong, but still you choose wrong. That is passion, because you're passionate about it, no? Everybody knows that drugs are wrong, or maybe going around with so many girls, that's wrong, morally. But still you'll do, because you're impelled by passion. I can't stop myself. That's passion. So that's mode of passion. And mode of goodness is, you know what is good, you know what is bad, you know what is right, what is wrong, and you have the power to choose the right. That is goodness. But, so mode of ignorance and passion are impurity, we understand, that are wrong. But how do you understand mode of goodness is also impurity? That's your question?
Good question.
Now tell me, how do you understand? Because mode of goodness, you can know what is right, what is wrong, and you can also choose right and leave wrong. You have that power, which you don't have power in mode of passion. In that you don't have. So why? What's the problem with mode of goodness?
They're also attached to...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
18 chapters further, I saw. Huh. They're attached to two things.
Yeah, mode of goodness, there's a problem. Mode of goodness, you can become attached. See, when you choose right thing, and you can leave wrong thing, what happens? You will get happiness, peace, is it? Because you are following Krishna, you are choosing right thing. And there's high chances to become attached to peace and that happiness. But then you might say, what's wrong in that? What is wrong to be attached to happiness, which is good? Is it? This happiness is not like happiness or mode of passion. Not like drugs and this happiness is good happiness. So what's wrong? The wrong part is, because when you become attached to happiness and peace and goodness, then you become high chances of becoming egoistic. See, I'm better than
others.
I'm in mode of goodness. You are nonsense. Mm-hmm. That happens, no? So if you go to South India, all these people, South Indians, many South Indians, they follow dharma properly, you know, morals, mm-hmm. very much morals.
Yes.
And so something somebody does wrong, then they are moochy, muddy, you know, muddy, they say muddy, they say impure and this and chua chut, you know, it happens, no? So they get entangled in mode of goodness, and then they start condescending others.
Mm-hmm.
They forget how to help others. They'll forget that in their goodness. They will become egoistic. I'm better than others. And that will not allow him to go beyond modes. That
sure.
Egonesses will block him. So that's why it is impurity. That impurity comes.
So what is Satoguna Prabhu?
So Krishna is saying go beyond modes. So when you practice Krishna consciousness, you will go beyond modes. Three modes. That is next verse. I'll tell you.
Okay.
Next verse. What is next verse? The divine. This is famous verse 7:14. Everybody knows this verse. What's that? Without seeing, can you tell me? Daivi hai isha gunamai. Mama maya duratyaya. Mameva prapadyante maya metam taramtite. Can you see and tell me? What's that?
Devi Haisha Gunamai.
Wrong. What's that? Just tell me.
Devi Haisha Gunamai.
Wrong.
Yesa.
You speak? Tell me. Just tell me.
मेरी तो हिम्मत नहीं हो रही
जाएंगे मैं. You should tell them. Then I'll tell you what's wrong. It's good to be wrong here.
Yeah. Okay. Devi.
Wrong.
Here.
It's wrong.
Devi,
it's Devi.
Daivi.
Daivi.
And then?
Double A. Daivi.
Then what's that? Yeah.
Her or other year. Here. Yeah.
Hayesha. Yesha.
Daivi Hayesha. Hayesha. And then?
Gunamai.
Then?
Mama. Mama. Maya. Maya. Duratya.
Duratya. Ya. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You should speak every word letter properly. Mm-hmm. Then,
Ameva ye.
Ye.
Ye. Prapadyante. Maya metam.
Maya metam.
Taranti te.
Yeah. So please, I'm just giving you exercise.
Yes.
Please read properly. Every letter you should see and then speak, just like child. Then you will pronounce properly. Otherwise, if you don't pronounce wrong, meaning change in Sanskrit. Everything changes. So you have to pronounce dai vi, like that. You have to practice because we are not practiced to speak Sanskrit, no. So we skip letters. We dai vi he hie sha guna mai. It is not guna mai. It is guna na chana. It is not na. So yeah, so Praveen, yeah, it is not Praveen. Yeah. So Gunamai. Okay, so this is just small practice. So like this you should practice verses speaking. Otherwise, ISKCON devotees, they preach, they speak some verse, and people like especially South Indians who know how to pronounce. They say, what's happening? You know, he's mad. Even doesn't know how to pronounce what he will teach me. And some people are very picky about that. Very picky. Their mind will become off if we don't pronounce properly. And many, especially Punjabis, they'll do bale bale of everything. They can't pronounce properly. Is it their language is also, they don't practice. They are playing cricket with this. And they don't practice also. You Punjabi? It's like that, no? It's very difficult for them. Okay. So you see here, Krishna is saying, by my mercy, you can cross mode of ignorance, passion and goodness also. Three modes you can overcome. See? So Krishna says, if you practice Krishna consciousness, impurity in your heart, you will overcome impurity by my mercy. What is impurity? Passion, goodness, ignorance, goodness. So goodness also you overcome. So you are situated in transcendental mode of goodness, that is called. Beyond goodness there is Vishuddha Sattva, Shuddha Sattva. That is called transcendental mode of goodness. What is transcendental mode of goodness? What is the difference between transcendental mode of goodness and goodness? In goodness you have ego, but transcendental mode of goodness you don't have ego. Otherwise it's same.
That is
Shuddha Sattva. That's Shuddha Sattva. You don't have ego. Transcendental mode of goodness, you know, that whatever goodness has come in me, that is causeless mercy of God. But people who are in just mode of goodness, they cannot realize this. And they think, okay, I've got goodness, so I'm good. See, I've got goodness, I've become good. But when you go beyond goodness, you understand, I have been bestowed goodness by Lord, but I am not good. This goodness is a gift. It is not become mine. This good, I have not produced its goodness by my practice.
Correct.
See, there's a difference. So, Krishna has given a gift. This is Krishna's goodness he has put in me. But if I look in my soul, deep down, I am a demon. I am not good. Do you agree? All of you? You're all demons?
Ignorant demons.
Yeah, we are all nonsense. At the core of heart, we are absolute nonsense. Once, if we separate ourselves from Krishna, we will become demons. It will not take much time. Not take much time. Although we are 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever years you are in Krishna consciousness, as soon as you leave holy name and Krishna, it will not take much time to revert back to your original position. Our original position, so-called, in material world. So, see, this is important to remember that Krishna is holding us. Krishna is holding us by His causeless mercy. If he leaves us, we are lost. So he is holding us, but we out of ego think we are holding him. But it's not like that. Just like you see this lizard, he would have lizards here. So lizard is on the roof, and lizard is thinking, if I go from here, roof will fall down. It is like this now. Woh ulti hai na. So it is thinking, I am lifting the roof. But it's not that. The roof is providing her something, support. So like that. So animals think like that. This animal tendency to think like that. Animalistic. So mode of goodness, person is still an animal. He's not actually really become a human, because to become human is a big thing. No? Human means you recognize God. Manav. Manav means you recognize God. So that's a problem with all of us. We forget that we are not good. We think we have become good. Nobody has become good here. Don't think you have become good. You have never become good. And Krishna's son, he became demon. We all know. Narakasura. How he became demon?
Association.
Then, bad association. So, by association he became bad. Because he had proclivity to being bad. No, that's why he got influenced by that. Everybody has his proclivity. We are very weak. As soon as something bad will come, we'll become bad. And to become bad is more easy to become good. It is. We are naturally attracted to that. No. So Krishna is helping us. His invisible hand is keeping us with him.
Why so naturally bad, attracted to bad?
Because millions of years we are like that. Millions of years. Millions of lifetimes. We are habituated to that. So we are attracted.
But everything comes from Krishna. So
yes.
Then how bad is coming from Krishna?
Bad also comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Even Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, even bad comes from Krishna. But when bad is associated with Krishna, it becomes good. Everything connected with Krishna becomes good. He is God. So there's a question Prabhupada raises in Gita. What is bad? What is good? No. So anything disconnected from Krishna is bad. Anything connected with Krishna is good. So that's how we see. So okay, speaking truth is good. Good. Speaking lie is bad. Bad. But when Krishna speaks lies, it becomes good. Because anything connected to Krishna is... So bad also becomes good when it connects with Krishna. You see, that's the point. So you can say speaking lie for Krishna is good. Or you can say speaking lie for Krishna, Krishna does bad things but the result is good. From our perspective, if we say. This
Ranchor.
Ranchor, yeah. He left the battle and ran away. Nobody criticizes him. But he praises him. So like that. You got my point? So this is purity of heart. So then Krishna changes the topic. Suddenly. 15th chapter, he comes to a point where he says, okay, devotees surrender to me and their heart becomes pure. But some people do not surrender to me. Mm-hmm. So this is, I told 7th chapter is talking about 7 types of people. Mm-hmm. So one is devotee. The next type of people Krishna is talking, next set of people Krishna is talking, who will never surrender to me, who do not surrender. They don't develop faith. Even after hearing about me, they will not develop faith. That's the point. So after purity of heart, what comes? So what's the next stage? Determination. Nishtha. Yes. You get determination. And Krishna is saying some people, even after hearing, even after doing everything, they will never get determination. Not to talk about determination, no faith also. So who are these 4 type of people, which are called Duskriti. Duskriti. Set of people, one set. Namam Duskritana Muda, Prapadyante Naradhama, Maya Prita Jnana Asuram Bhavam, Ashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, who partake of atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. So can you give example? Afterwards you read the purport, but can you give example? Who are grossly foolish? Who are these people? Grossly foolish. Ordinary people. Foolish, no? They are fools because they don't understand the aim of life, no? So these are people who are lowest among mankind. Who is this person lowest among mankind? Naradhama, who is that person lowest among mankind? Any idea? Who is lowest among mankind?
Hitler.
No. Lowest among mankind. What's that?
Sense gratification.
No.
Those who reject Krishna.
Kaun? Jo bhagwan
mein believe nahi karte, there are so many people.
No, bhagwan, people who don't believe in God, they are foolish. Fools. But who is lowest among mankind? Now you read Prabhupada, afterwards you read, and Prabhupada says, lowest among mankind is that person who misinterprets scriptures. He's lowest, he's nonsense, no? He is misinterpreting message of God and cheating people. Those people are lowest among mankind. Cheaters in the name of religion.
So they are below foolish.
Of course. They are lowest, no? They are to be punished.
Foolish people are...
Foolish people are not punished. They are fools. They are like child. They are like nonsense, cheaters. And Prabhupada gives another example. Lowest among mankind are those people who come to Krishna and they leave him. They are the most unfortunate. Other people are unfortunate because they never came to Krishna. But we came to the highest point and then we go back. So it is like vomiting and then eating your vomiting back. That Bhagavatam gives example. Vantasi. So these people are lowest, no? They are eating their vomit. What? These are like ghostly, like nonsense people. That is lowest among them. Naradhama. And then whose knowledge is stolen by illusion? Who are these? Knowledge is stolen by illusion. Mayaprita Jnana. Prabhupada gives example of... Prabhupada, that is Prabhupada insight. Prabhupada gives example of scientists. The knowledge is stolen by illusion. So what do you mean by that? Why scientist? Their knowledge is stolen by illusion. What's the point?
God is not there. They are only focusing on matter.
So why do we say their knowledge is stolen by illusion? What's the point?
They don't consider the superiority of Krishna. They don't consider the spirit.
The point is, illusion means... what is illusion? You see something which is not there. No? Like mirage and all these things. So scientists, their knowledge is stolen by illusion. Why? Because they are seeing some part of universe and they are deriving some conclusion. But that part of universe is not whole picture. So by half picture they are deriving some conclusion, you see. So their knowledge is stolen by illusion. They are getting confused by half knowledge is very
dangerous.
That's what Krishna is saying. They can never know what is a full picture. Nobody can know. So their knowledge is stolen by illusion. Scientists. And who partake atheistic nature of demons. Demons. Full demons. Hiranyakashipu, Ravan. Who want to kill God. They are demons. Who want to destroy the message of Lord. So that is, these kind of people will never. Even if they hear about Krishna, what will happen, you know? The more they hear about Krishna, the more they will criticize Krishna.
Yeah, they will become envious.
Is it? These people like that, no? If you tell scientist God, he will become more angry. He is not open. If you tell demon, if you tell Hiranyakashipu about God, he will say, yes, okay, I'll kill him. So these are like second set of... And the next set of people are... Third is some people who surrender to God. Who after hearing surrender to God. There are chances of them to surrender to God. Who are those? 7:16. What is that verse? Chaturvidha bhajante mam. Ye jana pariupasate arto jigyasur arthaarthi jnani cha bharata rishabha. So four type. O best among bharat, four kind of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, inquisitive, and who is searching for knowledge of absolute truth. Okay. But the question is, do all distressed people come to God? No.
Some become atheistic.
Many people become atheistic. why distress is coming to me. Do all people who desire wealth, they come to Krishna? No. They go to Vaishno Devi. Or maybe Sai Baba, whatever they want to do. So why Krishna is saying, four kind of pious men begin to render devotion to me. What is the important factor which brings anybody to Krishna? Is it distress? Is it desire of wealth? Is it inquisitive?
Faith
is developed by? Association of devotees. You have to understand, in this Krishna is saying, four kind of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. Not all distressed, not all desire of wealth, not all inquisitive people, not all people who are searching for knowledge, absolute truth, they will come to Krishna. These people will come to Krishna. There are high chances that these people can come to Krishna. But with in association of devotees, that's always has to be there. If they don't get association of devotees, they can't come. Nobody can come.
Where do we get that from, this verse?
You read the purport. It is in purport. Prabhupada is there writing. It's not there in purport. But you can understand, because if you think about the context, first verse I talked about association of devotees, no? So when you're developing a theme, you have to put that point here. That point, association of devotees is carried along. You understand?
Yeah. Okay.
So you have to understand the theme, then we can connect everything. So Prabhupada is writing, yes, by association they come. Otherwise you can't come. But there are high chances. These people can come. Other duskritos, they cannot come. Demons will not come. Demons, if they are distressed, they will never come to Krishna. If grossly foolish people, these people, they become distressed, they actually, on the contrary, reject God. Why God has given miseries to me? See? So that's a different take there.
But Prabhuji, demons like Ravana, when it is said, you know, at the time of this, Ram took his jyoti and submerged into him. So
what?
It seems that that's the shortest path, become the complete bad person, and ultimately you will get merged into it.
So then you have to become bad like Ravana. And you can't become bad like Ravana also.
Then only Krama.
Yeah. So we don't have that capability to do that. Before that, you will be killed. That's all. Somebody will shoot you. So it's not, and that is not bhakti. Even though Ravana was merged in Ram, merged or whatever, he was not merged, first of all. That is another story. But Ravana was a special person. He was Jai Vijay. So it's a special thing going with him. And demons were killed by Krishna, although they merged with Krishna, like Shishupal, but they don't go back to spiritual world. They just merge. So the destinations are different. By love you can go to spiritual world, but they go to Brahmjyoti and they have to come back. So that's the difference there. After 3 births they went. There is a special case, they are cursed. Okay, so you understand this? And then Krishna is talking about so we have three kind of people done, no? And then Krishna is talking about this. So you fast forward.
Uji, here last verse. Inquisitive and searching for knowledge are same.
No. Inquisitive and searching for absolute truth is different. Inquisitive means just to know everything. Okay. Absolute truth means only God. Okay. So now you come to this. What is this? 19th verse. Okay. What is 19th verse? Can you tell me?
Bahunam janma nam ante jnanvan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarmiti sahmatma sudurlabha.
Sahmatma sudurlabha. Yeah. So everybody knows this verse. Famous verse. After many births and deaths, whose actually knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes, all that is such a great soul is very rare.
Same like verse 3, right?
Same like that. Almost same like that. Okay, so you read the first line of this purport. Just read that. Of 7th chapter, 19th verse, what Prabhupada is writing. The living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals, devotional service or transcendental rituals, after many births, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge that Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. So what do you understand by this line?
Just
So those who are engaged in the process will one day.
Yeah, so the Prabhupada is mentioning two interpretations of this verse. After many, many births, one knows Krishna as Supreme. After many, many births of doing yajnas, rituals, tapasya, you know Krishna as Supreme. And the next interpretation Prabhupada says, after many, many births of executing devotional service. It's not that one birth you are going back to Krishna. After many births of chanting Hare Krishna, you know Krishna as Supreme. It is not just story of one birth. So, but Prabhupada and everybody says it can happen in one birth, right, if you put extraordinary efforts. Mm-hmm. Efforts are required, extraordinary efforts are required to attain extraordinary platform. That is love. That is, we can't achieve that platform. It's impossible. So that's what I have been talking, knowing all these lectures. Be serious. If you are not serious, you can't cross illusion. It's impossible to cross illusion. I mean to say, Bharat Maharaj fell down. There are all kind of stories in Bhagavatam. Brahma was running after his daughter. Who is that person who runs after daughter? No? Even we will not do like that. Brahma is doing that kind of personality. So Krishna is saying, be careful, my illusion is very strong. People like Brahma, they can do such a thing which you can't even imagine to do. Those kind of people. So my illusion, if she is determined to make you fall down, nothing can save you. She has a list, no? Now your name is still not come. It's scrolling. When your name will come,
then she'll attack.
then you can't do. If you're not fully fixed in Krishna, you're gone. You're gone. Now you can go on, enjoy, no problem. Just keep on chanting, enjoy. But you have to make yourself strong, because at that point, if you're not fully connected to Krishna, you're gone. That is why it takes many births. It takes many births, not because devotional service is not strong, it's not powerful. The point is, we are stupid. So we do mistakes, we do nonsense, we are not careful. And we are not linked with devotional service 24 hours. Because stupidity, we forget all these things. We don't put extraordinary efforts. That's what Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You need extraordinary effort. Just like a businessman, he earns money, no? Just like your jobs also, you're doing extraordinary efforts. For your children, you do extraordinary efforts. You do, all of you do. Many parents, they come to America, earn money. For them, you're earning money, you're working, you're sacrificing your money, and you take big decisions for your children. People take big decisions. Like you were telling, one devotee went to India. Children are small, he doesn't want. So if you can do so much for your children, why not for God? Is it? You like all your females, you got up entire night for children, no? Is it? They were weeping. But have you got up for God? Did you get up one night and chanted? No. So, I don't have to say that you are not devotionally advanced. You see yourself. Don't cheat yourself. So we have a tendency to cheat ourselves. We are cheaters. So, if you think about it, we are actually harming ourselves. Is it? We are harming ourselves, no? Is it? If some job comes, job work in your company, and you have to do it the next day, whole night you will be up, no? Is it?
Yeah.
You have sleep.
Otherwise, you'll be fired. So you have
yeah,
to go.
Yeah. So that's the point.
Nobody can afford to be fired.
Yeah. So that's the point, no? So, but we forget that we are fired by illusion, by Maya. We are entangled in birth and death. That's more important. That's why we don't get up at night, not a single night, for Krishna. And in fact, actually, in Shastra it is said, Ekadashi night you should get up. You know this? Ideally, Ekadashi is called Harivasar, the day in which Lord resides. Now, the point is, that Ekadashi is, Lord doesn't reside in the day, He resides in the night.
So one night prior to Ekadashi or Ekadashi?
No, Ekadashi night. Ekadashi night. That is why traditionally all people, now also if you go to Maharashtra, Vithal, mm-hmm. everybody is awake doing kirtans in night.
Okay, on Ekadashi day?
Yeah, yeah. But of course you have to go to jobs and all that, then you'll be sleeping in the jobs. But that's practice, you can do that. Many people in Maharashtra do and then they go to job, nothing happens to them.
Total what time in the night?
Like, no, I mean to say they have many people, mm-hmm. they do till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock and then they sleep. Then they get up early, they sleep less, mm-hmm. that's all. That's all. So we can, I'm not saying,
Nirjala.
I mean, I don't mean you have to get, I don't mean that you have to get up at night and then. It's not the point. You have to get up or not get up. The point is, you have to put some efforts. You have to go beyond little your limits to advance.
Yes.
It can't go happily, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to see your own limits. Everybody has different limits. Yeah. No? Different body,
right.
Different health. What I can do, you cannot do. So, but you have to do little more. That's the point which Prabhupada is saying. And otherwise, take many births, that's all. See, just like I asked you yesterday, what is different between sin and offense? Simple question. Nobody knew. So, why? If we don't know simple things, then how are we going to get love? So, that's the point. It is, Krishna is telling to encourage us. Come on. Come work. So, just like child, you know, small child, crawls. Papa says, come. Then he will stand up, he'll fall down. No, come. He'll keep on trying. And then he'll come. That's all Krishna is saying. Come to me. Try more. Try hard. One life, you should put all your energy. That's it. And then we'll see what's happening. So that first line is very important to understand. Purport. Oh, really? Hare Krishna. And then Krishna talks about people. Now Krishna is talking about some people who do not surrender to Krishna, who surrender to God, to demigods. Mm-hmm. Now, devotees, they heard about Krishna and they developed determination for Krishna. Mm-hmm. But some people, they keep on hearing about demigods and they get determination in demigods. Like they did a wrong thing. So this is another set of people who don't come to Krishna. So, why they don't come to Krishna? Because the intelligence is stolen by material desires. 720, this is famous verse, you have to remember. Kamaise se hita jnana papadyante anne devata tam tam niyama maasthaya prakartya niyata swaya. Those who intelligence is stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods, follow their particular reservations of worship according to their own nature. This is the fourth or fifth type of people, four type of people who go to demigods, not to Krishna. Is it four? It's fourth, no? Anyway, you're not writing. Four type of people. Duskriti, devotees, Duskriti, Sukriti and...
Yeah, fourth is and impersonal.
Okay.
Foolish people then who come to God.
No, that's different.
Demigod, impersonal.
That's different. That is a particular set of people who do not come.
Okay.
So I am telling people who do not come, people who come second, people who are devotees and people who go to demigods. Seven type of people. We talk anyway, you can figure out afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. So demigods, who go to demigods. Okay, fine. Now we go forward, fast forward. And 24th verse. Some people go to demigods. Some people worship Krishna as impersonal. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam manyate mama buddhya param bhavam ajananto mam avyam uttamam. This is the fifth kind of people who actually takes Krishna to be light. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think I am Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. So you can quote this verse to people who think Krishna is impersonal. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam manyate mam abuddhaya param bhavam ajananto mam abhuta maheshwaram. 724. You understanding all of you?
Mm-hmm.
So this is fifth kind of people. And then Krishna says, you can read all those things.
Just a clarification on the impersonal and personal.
Krishna is not impersonal, he is personal.
Right, right. What is personal? What is personal? Meaning form?
Form, name, qualities. Okay. Impersonal people, impersonal means people who think Krishna is light. Jyoti Swarup. Many people say that's wrong. There's nothing called Jyoti Swarup. So, okay. So that's it. And now you come to 729. And 729 is Jara Marana Mokshaya Vama Ashritya Tantiye. Te Brahma Tad Vidu Krishnam Adhyatmam Karma Cha Akhilam. So this verse, if you think about it, this verse is talking about, there are two interpretations of this verse. One interpretation is, what Krishna is saying, people who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me. So some people do bhakti for liberation. Their bhakti is mixed. Mm-hmm. See? So this is the sixth type of people. Mishrit bhakti. Mm-hmm. Some people do not go to Krishna for liberation. They are just trying by themselves. Mm-hmm. Liberation. But these people think, okay, fine. I can't get liberation by my own endeavor. Let me go to Krishna and ask liberation. So we have to go to Krishna for devotion, but they are going to Krishna for liberation. So what is this? This is pure devotion? No. Mm-hmm. This is jnani? No. This is in between. Mm-hmm. Jnana is mixed in. Jnani is mixed in devotion. This Mishrit Bhakti. You go to Krishna for some asking some liberation. Mishrit Bhakti. So this is sixth type of people who do actually impure devotion. Mm-hmm. Impure bhakti yoga. Mm-hmm. Impure karma yoga, impure jnana yoga, impure dhyana yoga, impure bhakti yoga. You ask liberation from God. I mean to say, you love Him for getting something. So these people also, they love, but they want something. This is impure bhakti yoga. You see, impure bhakti yoga and pure bhakti yoga. Again, everything. Impure bhakti yoga is, you want to love Him for some desire. You understand? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that is sixth.
What is 16th verse and this one?
What is 16th?
Four kinds of people come to me.
Yeah. People who come to me, people who desire wealth. Mm-hmm. So yeah, four people come to me. People who desire wealth, they come to me. That means, if anybody wants wealth, he meets devotee. Devotee will say, okay, bhai, you want wealth? Okay, go to Govardhan, do some parikrama, and you'll get wealth. That's Govardhan parikrama people do. Mm-hmm. So when he will go to Govardhan, when he will be doing parikrama, he'll meet sadhu. And he'll say, you're nonsense. Why are you doing for money? Krishna can give you everything. Just surrender to Him. He'll surrender. This is that case.
Oh, okay.
But these people are, they'll do parikrama, they will do everything, they will hear sadhus, but still they will maintain their desires. They don't change. That is Mishrit Bhakti. Mishrit. Their bhakti has become impure. Even after listening, still they are impure. You see? Sixth. And the seventh type of people are pure devotees who have attained love, who have attained the spiritual body. This is there in this verse again. Mm-hmm. This verse is also talking about, now what Krishna is saying, intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. What do you mean by this? Can anybody tell me? 7th chapter, 29th verse. 7th chapter, 29th verse has two meanings. You understand? Mm-hmm. So, if you read this line, intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. So, everybody can read this line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it 7th chapter, 29th verse? Purport? I am reading purport. People who are listening on phone. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in devotional service. What do you mean by this statement?
There is a desire to be free from problems.
So this statement has two meanings. One meaning is people who come to devotional service for getting liberation, no?
Mishrit Bhakti.
Is it? liberation from old age and death. They take refuge in God, in devotional service. So this is Mishrit Bhakti. One meaning is this. But Prabhupada in the purport, he takes another meaning. He takes meaning from the angle of pure devotion. Mm-hmm. Now what is another meaning you can get from this statement?
Few devotees don't desire liberation.
No, but...
While doing Mishrit Bhakti, they can...
See, you see the most important word, intelligent persons. It's written. Mm-hmm. So devotee is very intelligent. He knows that these people, they are going to Krishna to ask liberation. No, they are loving him to ask liberation. Devotee is intelligent. He thinks, why should I ask liberation? If I love him, I will automatically get liberation. So why to make my bhakti impure? So that is why devotee knows, if he loves him, he will get a spiritual body. He will go back to Krishna. If he goes back to Krishna, you are liberated. So that's why this verse, this line has two meanings. This verse is simultaneously talking about Mishrit Bhakti, impure devotion, and absolutely pure devotion. So this is a seventh kind of person, pure devotee. If you read the purport, now after I tell you, now you read and you will find Prabhupada is doing in this verse, spiritual body and that. And then the last verse, 7th chapter, 30th verse, Krishna says, anybody... So Krishna talks about seven stages. So now you are at the platform of love, pure devotion. Seven type of people. Out of seven type of people, only pure devotees, they can think of me at the time of death. 7th chapter, 30th verse. Those in full consciousness of me, who knows me to be governing principle of material manifestation of demigods, of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality awarded, even at time of death. So Krishna is developing a theme. There are seven type of people who come to me. Out of that, who is pure devotee, he can know me at time of death. Others cannot know me at time of death. Many people even do not know me. They reject me. And if you can't think of me at time of death, you again come back in cycle of birth and death. And how does a pure devotee know Krishna at the time of death? He passes seven stages, no? That's what I was talking, seven chapter. Hearing, then faith, hearing, process of devotional service, his heart becomes pure, he gets determined, he gets attachment and love. And then at time of death he thinks. So seven chapter, seven subjects, Krishna is talking, seven type of people and seven stages of devotional service. Done. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Okay, any questions now?
Yes, Prabhuji. I have heard in other lectures that when somebody sincerely tries for devotional service, Krishna arranges that he takes birth in some other planet where he actually is doing his deela and he gets the opportunity associating with Krishna himself. And at that time he completely falls in love.
That's the final perfection. You go to one pastime where Krishna is doing pastime, associate with him, and then you develop love and go back.
So that happens.
That Krishna arranges. But anyway, I mean to say, even if you are with Krishna in this material world, it's like spiritual world. No, doesn't matter. It's all the same. It happens like that. It might not also. Krishna can do anything. That's a general scenario. So, any other question?
You said for each verse there can be minimum 10 interpretations, right?
Yeah, but you don't have to know that.
Yeah, so but people who are not devotees, like so many people write commentaries on Bhagavad Gita.
Interpretations according to scriptures, not by speculation.
Okay.
So that's not interpretation. Interpretation, I use a wrong word. There are 10 meanings to every verse. Interpretation is a wrong word. You don't interpret that. Or in a good sense, we use interpretation.
And one more thing, just today you mentioned difference between sin and offense. So offense, we can't get forgiveness. So we are just on the path, we just started. Okay. And after 1 year, I might be on the better stage. And so I will think like, okay, 1 year back, I have done this thing wrong. So I have done so many.
So that is why I told you, every Vaishnav Sampradaya. Vaishnav Sampradaya? Vaishnav means devotees. Every school of devotional service. One of the most important lay is to serve devotees. That's the most important limb of devotional life, to serve Vaishnavas. Because whatever you have done offenses unconsciously, you don't know what list you will keep. So Krishna says, keep on serving devotees, that will liquefy your offense towards Vaishnavas. Otherwise you can't attain me. So whether we have done offense consciously or unconsciously, we don't know. Everything can be liquefied by devotee service. That's why Krishna says in to Arjuna, Prabhupada quotes. So Prabhupada says now. So what that was? Name bhakta jana partha, Agni Puran. Krishna says people who are my devotees, people who claim to be my devotees, they are not my devotees. People who are devotees of my devotees, they are my devotees. So it is very important to serve Vaishnavas. That's the foundation of devotional life. Serve devotees. If you can serve devotees, even if you don't serve Krishna, you can go back to him by serving devotees. But you serve Krishna and don't serve devotees, you're not going back. Because we are doing so many offenses against devotees. Unconsciously. We are hurting devotees, we are doing so many offenses. And sometimes offenses you're forced to do. Situations become like that, no? You don't want to do, but it happens. So that is why Krishna says, continuously keep on serving devotees. And it becomes liquefied.
What is the definition of devotee? Like, is it like pure devotee, like Prabhupada?
Any devotee.
Means, or like, if I'm just...
Okay, fine. How do you define pure devotee? Tell me, who is a pure devotee?
Who is engaged in the service?
Most of the time, all the time. So, he is a pure devotee. He can be a hypocrite.
Always think.
There are many people in ISKCON who join ISKCON, but their whole aim of life is to come to America and marry an American woman. And they are whole time serving also.
But they are not serving for that purpose.
So definition is incomplete, no?
Right.
That's what I am pointing. So what is the definition of pure devotee?
Who doesn't have his own desires. His desires are...
So Prabhupada gives definition in... Have you read the small book, Isopanishad? Anybody?
Yeah.
And the last verse, Prabhupada gives definition of pure devotee. Prabhupada says, pure devotee is a person whose goal is clear. Goal. See? So if your goal is clear at least, no? Okay, you want Krishna. You don't want anything else. Your heart might be desiring something by your habit. Mm-hmm. But you don't want it now. The goal is clear. If your sincerity of purpose, that's also Prabhupada writes in one place. So if your goal is clear, you're pure devotee. You might now there are two types of pure devotees. One is immature, one is mature. We are immature pure devotee, no? Because our hearts still have desires. But our goal is clear. But then there is mature pure devotee like Prabhupada. He's like fully realized. Heart is pure. So, you have to associate with pure devotees. You understand? Even a person who is like 1 month in Krishna consciousness, he can be pure devotee. If he is sincere. If his goal is clear. We don't judge by desires. That's not the idea. Everybody has desires, no? But if he doesn't entertain his desires, then he's a pure devotee. He wants to get rid of it. Of course, if you have a mature devotee and immature devotee, you prefer mature devotees, no? Because you learn from him.
Yeah.
That's all the idea. But you don't neglect immature pure devotee. He's also a pure devotee. So don't think, so it is a wrong understanding to measure a devotee by desires. No. You measure a devotee by his goal, by his sincerity of purpose. Is it? Then that's a difference there.
But how can I read others' mind? Let's suppose 10 people are sitting here.
I can read, I can just tell. If anybody comes, I can just tell without even talking to them.
Let's suppose we have some...
experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, means that determination, okay, I have to serve all. So how that will come? Like 10 people are sitting.
Just
I
serve.
Don't know means whose goal is clear and whose not.
And serve everybody. What do you lose? You don't lose anything. You don't lose anything. Serve everybody. If you don't know, serve everybody. No problem.
Then Prabhu, why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Chaitamrita, he said, who is a devotee? And he answered that anybody who takes Krishna's name once.
Yeah, anybody who takes Krishna's name once without offenses. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Not just Hare Krishna. So without offenses means, if you count all the offenses, without offenses, either you can say once without offenses, or you can say in other words, once with his goal fixed. It's the same. What are offenses? Demigods. Is it? These are offenses, no? To consider Krishna a demigod. His goal is going to demigods. He's speculating some other goal, jnana, karma, whatever. So, in simple words, you can say whose goal is fixed. Same thing.
Okay, now it's clear.
It's clear now. So, okay. So, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada. They want to ask something?
Yeah,
otherwise, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.